Well, good afternoon now. Oh, is this? Oh, well, it's still morning, eh? Yes. It's afternoon. Well, it's great to see everyone here today. And it's amazing. The school decided that we need to be more fired up. And so they turned out all the heating. Summer has come, and so coming in this morning is like a little bit on the chilly side. But we thank God that the song leaders had the appropriate song to get us a little bit fired up. Amen. I'm really, really, really excited about all the things that God is really doing, you know, and amongst us, just in a different faith group, just to see the depth of relationship really getting, you know, deeper and closer, and to see so many people, several people studying the Bible to become Christians, several people getting restored. You know, God is doing, working in many ways in all our lives, and we're so grateful about it. You know, today, I just want to talk about, well, the title of my message today is Let Your Light Shine and Give Light to Others. Just like the song we sang, you know, Let It Shine. But it's about really the light that God has given all of us. And let's be turning our Bible to Matthew chapter 5. And before we go ahead and read it, I want us to bow our head and pray at this time. Our Father in heaven, God, we are so grateful for your kindness, for your love, for the way that you have taken care of us in so many ways. Thank you most especially for sending your Holy Spirit to live in our hearts, God. Father, we pray that you can open the eyes of our hearts this morning and to really be able to learn and to embrace your scriptures and the words that you have to impart to us today. Father, I pray you speak through me, God, and that what you have for us will really benefit us in a great way and help us to be the kind of people you want us to be. Thank you for the love. Thank you for Jesus and his example. And we pray, God, that we in every way can let our light shine and be the light giver for others. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. Now, Peter was preaching about the Sermon on the Mount last week. And so, this is like a follow-on. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You know, it's such a short passage, but the thing that God captured about this is that he's talking about light. And he says that light is already given, that you are the light of the world. And, you know, sometimes we think, oh, wow, the light needs to be put on. And then, wow, then we're the light of the world. But Jesus is speaking to the crowd, speaking to his disciples, and he's saying, you are the light of the world because God himself is the one who actually puts the light in there. And God is guaranteeing that he will do his part. You know, the light is what God himself does for us. He puts the light in there, and it's not something we ourselves put on. You know, many times, it's like if there was a spotlight right now, yes, the spotlight is on me, great. And then yes, I'm in the light. But then once the spotlight is no longer on me, it's the real me. But this is not saying that God puts a spotlight on us. It says we, this is who we are in God's eyes. That to him, we are the light, we've got the light. And then our own part in it all is that having gotten the light, the question is, what are we going to do with the light? You see, for every single one of us who got baptized, we rose up with the Holy Spirit now living in us. And God, this is the Holy Spirit that created the whole world and made everything that we see. And that's what God has put in inside of us. And it's the question, I believe, is God is looking to us and asking, you know, what are we going to do with the light? We can either hide it, pretend it doesn't exist, or we can choose to really let it shine. And let it shine for what God really wants us to do. To also become a light giver. To give light to everybody around. You know, this we see so clearly in Jesus' own life. You know, he showed us the way to really let our light shine. In his own life, in these days, there were many religious teachers in Jesus' days, weren't there? There were many rabbis. There were the Pharisees. There were the Sadducees. So people are familiar with men of God. But yet, in Jesus, his own light was shining so brightly. You know, people around him could testify. You know, even at the cross. You know, when having seen the way he died, that though he was unfairly murdered, he was manhandled, he was, mistreated in so many ways. But the way he did not retaliate, he did not respond back, even the centurion at the end looked at him and said, "Surely, this is the Son of God." Jesus' light was shining brightly. You know, the making of a man is not about what he does when all things are going well in their life. It is who they are when the chips are down. When things are not really as they ought to be. Who are they really? But God says, you and I, we are the light of the world. God himself has made it. We are the city on a hill. Not because of we put ourselves there. It's not something we do ourselves. It's what God himself has done. But we have a part. Should we cover it up? Or to be like Jesus and let it shine? You know, during the lifetime of Jesus, many people around him, observers, you know, they saw his life and they could testify about, man, there's no teaching like this. His love, his life. You know, there were so many scriptures talking about people commenting. You know, some said, you know, no one ever spoke like this. Even the waves obey him. He's so amazing. Now he even eats with the sinners. You can hear a Samaritan woman say, no, you are a Jew and you are a man, and yet you are speaking to me, a woman. And also not just a woman, but a Samaritan woman. Meaning it's like he was opposite of what the religious people around him was. And God says, listen, I have put in my Holy Spirit in all of us. And as a church, I believe God's light is just beginning to really ignite once again. But we've got a part of it. You know, as I was reading through this, I was so convicted. I decided to read it in all the different parallel passages. And one of the other parallel passage to this is found in Luke chapter 11, verse 33. And I think that's what we look a lot at today. Because Jesus says the same thing, that we are the salt of the earth. But what are we going to do without light? You know, when Jesus has said this saying in the parallel passage in Luke, after saying them, one of the Pharisees actually invited Jesus to his home for dinner. That's good hospitality, like we were talking about on Friday. But what Jesus then did was, during the dinner, he used the opportunity to actually address the reasons why the light of the Pharisees and all the other teachers were not shining so brightly. And because I was just sitting there and thinking, okay, how does he follow? But when I looked at the things he talked about, and there's a couple of things we just look at and highlight so that we can learn to avoid the very things that plagued the Pharisees and the religious people of their time, that made their own light not to shine. God's light is God has made it available to everybody. And it's not just about putting on the religious part and doing our own part. No, the light is already there. It's a matter of what we decide to do with it. I just got several points from all the different things that Jesus said, and I hope that we can open our own hearts. But this was a lot more for me, and the challenge is for me as I really look up to make sure that, yes, my own light is shining. And I believe we all can benefit from it. Let's go over in Luke chapter 11. And pick it up from verse 37. My first point is clean the inside as well as the outside, if we are going to let our light shine. Verse 37, it says, when Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Well, he was surprised. Then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, do not the one who made the outside make the inside also, but give what is inside the dish to the poor and everything will be clean for you. You know, if we're going to let our light shine, we've got to deal with both the inside and the outside. Jesus was talking about the Pharisees. They were more concerned with outward, what people are seeing, getting it right. Oh, are we in the church? Am I acting properly? Those could be our preoccupation, but Jesus says, no. The light is inside. Maybe I'm concerned with what is going on in the inside. And then also in the outside. And I feel, if we're going to let our light shine, that's what we've got to do. You know, what makes a man clean is from within. In Mark chapter 7, verse 20, Jesus says, what makes a man unclean comes from the inside of us. It's from the outside. We can put on a good act, but after the act, who are you really? You know, as I shared before, you see, the power of God is demonstrated not in the fact that we have a trouble-free life. The power of God is demonstrated in the way that we triumph over the adversities that fall on every man. Ecclesiastes talks about time and chance comes to everyone. We're going to get good chances. We're going to get bad chances. Because this is life. But he let trust in the Lord, knowing that God will bring us through, that he never let us down. We can let him shine as he brings us through it. How are we when we go through difficult times? In the sense of Pharisees, inside, they're caught up in all kinds of, all kinds of mess. Deceit, greed. I want to ask us, how are we really dealing with it, sin in the inside? You know, for me, just not too long ago, my daughter, my family went to visit my mom. And having to spend some time, and I was just washing up, and then with everything, I broke my mother's wooden spoon. And so my mom was saying, what happened to my wooden spoon? I avoided the question. And said, so he goes, what were you doing? Really? What were you doing that my wooden spoon broke? I said, while I was washing. He didn't have, Charles was washing and the wooden spoon broke. It wasn't the case. I finished. Then I got home. And my daughter turned and says, did you tell grandma the truth? I said, what do you mean? Because you said you were washing when the wooden spoon broke. I said, that is very true. We have to not just make a phone call, we need to go back and actually talk to my mom that it wasn't the washing that broke the wooden spoon. It was so humbling for me. But looking at it, what convicted me the most was I just said it flippantly, I was washing, it did not have a question. It is deceit. But it was a testimony of what I'm sowing in my daughter's life. I spent all the time saying, no lying, no deceit. But yet,
If she didn't bring that up, she would have gone away thinking, what a hypocrite. Because that's one of the things that put all of us off Christianity, isn't it? My daughter, you're going up there, each time I then talk about
the city,
See, but those kind of women, it's more, how much am I really watching myself? In really letting it inside. See, that's just one incident. But how careful am I to make sure that the inside is as clean as the outside? And I believe it's for every one of us to ask ourselves. At work, what are we really like? When you sign your tax form and things like that, what do you really like? My tax form is coming soon. So, that's my mind. But you know, Jesus is saying, listen, the Bible says, your own light is not shining. But it could shine. But you're not watching that the inside is as clean as the outside. So finally, come and do this ceremony, ceremonious act. Everything is fine. The same way, we can talk about Christianity. Oh, yes, the activities of Christianity we do is not who we are. If we take away the activities that we talk about to people, what is it really in our life that is makes us any different from people around us? People around Jesus who see the difference clearly couldn't. They were just like, what a man. What? He's like, if anyone said no hard teachings, it was Jesus. Jesus preached about hell than anybody else from the whole of the Old Testament and the New Testament put together. He really addressed and was so hard on him. But yet his life was shining so brightly that it couldn't but fail to draw people and give light to other people. Let us clean the inside as well as the outside. We continue the next verse 40. It says, woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, robe, and all other kinds of bad herbs, but you neglect justice and love of God. You should have practiced the latter without believing the former alone. The second thing is we've got to give justice and love along with our contribution. That's how the light shine. For this Pharisee, Jesus has just said, yes, you were giving a tenth. Now, let me say this because that should seriously challenge quite a lot of our lives. It wasn't that they were giving 10% of their salary. They said, wow, I'm giving my contribution. No! They were giving 10% of their means. Well, I haven't found out what I wanted, but it's like usually 10% of everything in the field that came their way. That's a serious sacrifice. I was sharing at that time. It's just like our giving. It's not just, oh, I'm giving my salary, a portion of my salary, a sacrificial portion of my salary. Oh, yeah, I'm giving to the Lord. No, what about all that is God giving to you? But these guys, we're already giving and committed to it. And then we're meticulous. That's what it says. Meticulous. It says, it's not you should stop being meticulous in the way you sacrifice to give. And I believe that it's a church. We have such a growing and changing in giving in so many ways. Our time, our money, different things. But Jesus also now wants us, if we're going to let our light shine, it needs to go as well beyond just the material things, but also about giving justice and giving love. In the message that I finished here on Friday about hospitality, that is love. Even this Pharisee bringing Jesus into his home, feeding him, that is love. You know? Many times it's like, we've got to ask ourselves, who are the people coming into my house? Just take for example, last week, into my house?
Who came into your house?
Just your family members?
Who really came in?
If hospitality is part of our life, who would be thinking about it?
Open up invitation.
Because that is what we read about when we read Acts 2 verse 32, when we devoted to fellowship, to the break of bread. Everybody ate together, they had gladness and sincere heart, and whoa!
Guess what? The light shone, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's my number right there.
We are excited about it, but that is the model of the church. That is the picture of the church.
That belief is that kind of giving. Love. Justice. That's what Jesus is saying, that lets our light shine. That's what makes the difference.
It's not just
that, I do my religious duties, I give my tithe, I give this. But hey, we go beyond that.
You know, Paul, in his own example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, he says to us, like, we love you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toils and hardship. We walked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you.
Paul is saying, this is how I let my life shine.
We do not just share the gospel, but we share our lives as well. How do you get to share your life as well without really sitting down and eating with people? And I believe the opportunity we have with this international service is not just come to an activity. We want to host people. Bring all God's people home. God's children who are going in disillusion and out there. We know them. Let's sit down and eat. Let's talk. Let this little light of mine, let it shine. Let our light begin to give light to other people. You know, because as a Christian, giving our light to other people, it starts with even making time so that we actually study the Bible with people. See, there's people who are coming and wanting to study the Bible. Oh, yes. And the question is, they're thinking somebody else is going to study with them. But as carriers of light of God, we've got to give the light. If we're not studying with them, are we volunteering to sit in those studies so that we can share our lives and our testimony as well? If we're not teaching the scriptures, we could be sharing something else. But unless we begin to make the time, there are not many people who are studying the Bible. Have we taken the time to find out who? How can I get involved? Even making time to pray and put them part of a prayer, that is giving. You see, but when you are giving in such a way, when God brings them home, you to celebrate. It adds your own joy. Their joy becomes your joy. Their love becomes your love. Are we all together? It is just, let this Lord of us, let's just let it shine. Let's continue. Let's 43.
But, sometimes when you hear the words, you go, what? But I just thought a lot more about it for me. Hey, applies.
Because 43 says, what do you Pharisees? Because you do love the most important seats
in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplaces.
What to you because you are like unmarked graves, which men walk all over without knowing it.
That's intense. I had to knock these two together. And the third point is basically focus on impact, not position.
See, what can snuff out our light from shining is when we are only caught up in just recognition. It's all about our motives. People who want to be noticed. We want to be in the limelight. You know, let me reach out, put a spotlight on me.
That's what they're saying. It's not about the spotlight being on you.
Because it's all alive, we come and go. But who are you?
That's what I'm asking myself. He says, you love the most important seeds. How do we do that? Did you notice? Who noticed? God notices everything. And you will come good. And you will surely come good on time. There is no labor that will not be rewarded. That is the promise of our God. So let's have faith. Let's trust our God. That light that He's put in us, it will shine if we can only let it shine.
It talks about, you know, they're like, my grace. How does that happen? My grace. That means there's nothing there. It says you walk away and you don't even notice you've been around it. How does that happen? You see, people will be around, say, these people, and we wouldn't even notice that they have all kinds of things that they go around having impact in people's life. Here it is. Someone will be around me. I can see things that are not quite fine. But we keep our eyes shut. People will be in our family group and their life is collapsing or so many things is going on. We're saying nothing. But we are coming into like a mad grave. Many people don't even know we exist. There's nothing in our life, like even if you hang around Muslim for the rest of your life, it won't be any different from hanging around us.
But at least, those Muslims will be serious about their fasting.
They'll be serious about going to their own mosque every Friday.
But you need to ask yourself, what about you?
It's the same thing. For us, our own commitment to the God. It's just a few meetings per week. But something has called and we take off.
That is our little light shining.
Right? Money comes. Oh, yeah. It's an extra over time.
Okay. Don't worry. We can catch up with God later.
Boom. Come on, guys. This is being done around us. Yes, in the past, we shut our eyes and pretend that we are not seeing.
We are seeing.
This light that God has put in us, guys, let's let it shine. The Holy Spirit that is living in us, He desires to speak and have conviction and impact. That's not your mad grave. I don't want your mad grave.
If someone is walking over my tomb, they will surely know. That's what I want.
If you people are coming to my life, that's what He's saying. They need to know. They're walking into something.
That would be good to their life, not bring harm.
If people come out amongst us as a church, they need not be that they walk out going to the cinema or a football match. Oh, we had a good chat, talk about politics, talk about cars, or talk about this. Let it be. And then they walk out and go, whoa.
That is how God is walking among God's people.
Are we all together?
Let's never be an unmarked tomb. I'm not into you. Pray.
I'm just very thankful. A friend of mine, not of my sin too, you know. And then get up. Down the road. Another girl in Woodbury, we studied the Bible, we became a Christian. With all the things that happened, yes, another girl had been coming. But I haven't really engaged that much to really find out and really help restore him back. And then, God then brings a friend, somebody amongst us. Jacobo. Not a little man, Jacobo is seeking God. He just came from Ecuador, landed in this country, I have to find a church. He's Spanish speaking. He found his church, you know, in the class where he solves Spanish. But he feels he wants something different. He really wants to meet Christians. So he had an internet for the Christian church in North London, because he lives in Southern Sister. And lo and behold, boom, boom, the Church of Christ comes up and is able to find us. There is a direction and the road there, and he couldn't quite figure out where is the church building. But lo and behold, you know, one of the sisters, I think it's been killed. Okay. And I saw him looking, and he says, are you looking for the church? Yes. Okay. That's where I'm going. So he came along. And I got quickly hooked up, and to study the Bible. Now I said, okay, all right, let's study the Bible. I was very humble, and we were studying with two people. We were studying so that he can find God, but we were studying to restore me too. I said, that is right. But in him saying that, I was so convicted. Because yeah. He's been around me. But I believe it is like a mad tomb. But thank God we all have a chance to repent. I don't repent. But I want to call us as a church. Please, let's not be a man in any way. Verse 45 says, one of the experts of the law answered him, teacher, when you say these things, it is taught us also. Some believe in the heat right there. Jesus replied, and you are experts in the law. Woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourself will not lift one finger to help them. Oh, that's very. Jesus was not easing up, was he? I mean, he really was determined to help everybody see why their own light is not shining. Teachers of the law, yes, you have the light of God, and it is shine. They were not. And so when they start feeling the heat of Jesus, addressing one person, then Jesus then unleashes it there. But for me, it talks about loading people down with burdens they can hardly carry. And you yourself will not lift one finger to help. You know, the Bible calls us to teach obedience to people. Not just to teach the rules. We can start by, oh yeah, here's the scriptures, let's read it, and oh yeah, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you gotta do that. And any religious person does that. What we see Jesus do is, let me show you how I do this. Let me show you how I deny myself and surrender to God. Let me show you how to pray. Let me show you how Jesus taught people how to do literally everything. How I share my faith, how I love people. It's like he was leaving out the message. That is lending a hand. Anyone can throw the commands out there, but it's a different person that said, hold my hands, let's do it together. Let me show you. And I believe God has given us those kind of opportunities. And, you know, for us, I believe our faith group leaders, I really want to lift up the faith group leaders for the great work they're doing. They're working hard, expanding themselves in so many different ways. But, you know, their own needs, they don't have own needs. And their own needs need to be met. You know, it's becoming a lot clearer to us. And, you know, what we've decided to do is, myself and JP, to actually go around and spend time with each of the faith group leaders to get to know what is really going on, how we can really be of help to them. And, you know, we had the first appointment. It was so awesome. I thought, wow. Just to be able to connect. And then they feel really reassured that they have a backing and a support. No, I've got to do this, I'm found you, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. No, really. We are together in this. And how does he apply to every one of us? We are all part of a family group. We've got to ask ourselves, how can I contribute to really helping people?
You know, one of the things that completed me in this area is like, even with my son is studying the Bible. And he's doing great. But I was, he's not really having his quiet time. Reading his Bible, and he has expressed that, oh, if we have quiet time together, he really does enjoy it. But in my heart, I said, no, he needs to prove he's really seeking God. So I'm not going to wake him up. Until he starts waking himself up and starts reading his own Bible, then we really know he's seeking God. Well, sad enough, that has been my decision. I have to repent. Because I know these are the things he's going to do, but I'm waiting, okay, you can do it, and then I know you're really serious, then we can really help. But it is a simple thing to actually engage and read and wake him up. It's just my pride that he needs to prove himself. But God is saying, no way. We're going to lend a hand to people. Jesus taught his own disciples how to pray. He got in there, and I decided I'm going to repent. I have repented. It was just something I consciously actually did, thinking I'm doing good. But no, God says, lend a hand. That's how you let your light shine, that you are different from other people who follow the commands of God at them, and they don't even help them out. Closing out. Talks about verse 47. Woe to you, because you built tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom you will kill, and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed. The blood of prophets that have been shed since the beginning of the world. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the knowledge, taken away the key to knowledge. You yourself have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. When Jesus left there, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say.
Until this, Jesus was a very popular man. Popular with everybody, but when he began to really address the real issue that something out of the light, they became really offended. But, you know, as we look through this, it's just for us to be able to not so much to look at, we're not Pharisees. But there could be Pharisees in every one of us if we are not really letting the light shine and choosing to make that a choice. It is a choice we've got to make. And, you know, the passage about killing prophets, none of us has killed prophets, murdered any prophet, but many ways we can snuff out people who speak the truth into our lives. That is killing prophets. We are killing the prophets in our own life. I stand totally convicted. I know even my wife is like a good prophet in my life, apart from others. One of the things I struggle with is like coming back from work, I am so tired and so irritable. The first 15 minutes, if I can survive it, according to my wife, if I can survive that first 15 minutes, everything else is great. But when I walk into that house, like, I'm already so tired. It's not like I want to run and hide and no. I'm fault finding everything I pick on. I am really looking for it. It's more I'm picking fights. But after 15 minutes, I think the whole thing I come on down. But she's been talking and talking. But instead of repenting, my heart wants to resist it, and I want to. You know, it's like, but don't talk to me anymore. It's like, I want to discourage her from speaking. But that's sad. And, you know, those are the things that convicted me about these things. And I feel, no way, I've got to make those changes. And I want to call us as a church, think about it. What are ways you are snuffing out people who speak truth in your own life?
do you turn like these Pharisees and start looking for ways to find their own fault? Or do you really look at the light and say, I'll repent and let this light shine? You know, I've shared a lot, but I hope we can take something away from it. Read those passages again and ask, how is the light? The light has been given. It's in. It's not something we put on. No, the light is here. What are you going to do? What are we going to do with it? Let it shine and let it be a light giver. May God bless you. Amen.